welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Well, we're joining you live today right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Rather balmy, humid Baltimore, Maryland this morning. We hope that things are fine weather-wise where you are. It's going to get hot and humid here today. But we're cool in our studios, and we hope you are as well. We hope that you'll be able to stay with us for the next hour or so. And we will be talking about this theme, dating. That's right. In the theme and the subject matter of relationships, today we'll focus on the subject of dating. Now, many of you may be saying, that's in the rearview mirror in my life, not doing that anymore, don't have any plans to do it. But then, of course, there may be some of you that are in the throes of dating even as we speak, or we'll be considering it in the very near future. If that's the case, then please stay tuned. We'll share some thoughts on this subject that we hope will enlighten you and give you some definition on a subject that I think a lot of people have a number of questions about. But we do want to welcome you to the broadcast today. We hope that today's program will encourage you in your faith, because all of the principles that we'll be talking about in relationship to dating, we hope will be biblical in their nature and helpful as you, again, move forward in your walk of faith with Christ. Thank you so much for being with us. My name is Pastor John Love. I'll be with you today. Joining me in the studio, Pastor Jason Moore. And it's been a while since we've been together here in the studio.
Yeah, I almost forgot what you look like, Pastor Love.
Man, I mean, they must have been, you know, arranging the hosts in such a way that we didn't connect, but here we are. Good to have you with us, Pastor Jason.
Always good.
I think that we'll be able to shed, again, some light on this subject matter, because it is something that I think a lot of young people have a lot of questions about, you know, like, where do I begin? How does this whole process work? Because if we don't discuss it, if we don't talk about it, if we don't, you know, take the bull by the horn, so to speak, then what are our young people in our churches today left with but a world that's going to say, this is what dating is all about. This is how you go about it. Here are the rules. Here are the regulations. And that's the last thing that we want our young people to be able to have to do.
Yeah, we either raise our kids or the world raises our kids.
Absolutely.
You know, just at the onset, I want to answer that question, but also maybe, you know, like you said earlier, things, you know, dating's in your rearview mirror. One of the concepts or precepts in marriage counseling is always date your spouse. So this could definitely be something that could reignite maybe a relationship that's kind of waning too. So dating can take on a beautiful, progressive look at, how we treat each other, have it lovingly lead each other and lovingly, pay attention to each other and cherish one another. And, these are some timeless things, but dating, yeah, some people don't believe in dating. They say, you know, one book says kiss dating goodbye. Some believe that courtship, you know, you're just friends, and then there's like this period, you know, and then all of a sudden you're married. And then some, you know, I believe dating is valuable, not like we would try out a car, go to the dealership and try out a car and, you know, sit in it, use all the functions and see if this is a good fit. I don't think that's dating at all. I think we could say, Pastor Love, that dating is a friendship that is rooted and grounded in the body of Christ. Obviously believing that these are two believers coming together. I think that's a huge point and not to be missed. Some people say, I'm just going to love the person that loves me back. But really, I think being of the same faith is critically important because if you're unequally yoked, it will be an issue later on in your marriage. It will. The way you relate to each other, your decisions, your priorities, the way you raise your kids, where you ultimately spend your time and energy and resources, if you don't think alike in your faith, then it will definitely be either a concession to God or away from God. So I would say maybe as a simple first step, dating is a friendship that draws us together. We learn one another's values. We learn one another's faith. We learn one another's, you know, their relationship with God. Do they have a living faith? You know, these are, and it takes time, right? A long dating relationship, maybe a short engagement.
Yeah.
So these are just some points.
No, great, great principles. Again, and we're talking about dating. I'd like to think in the context of the kingdom of God, you know, within the context of the body of Christ. I mean, as far as dating is concerned in the world and how they operate and what their principles are, that's a whole different kingdom. And we don't even want to go there because we know we've seen some of the, horrific results of,
sure.
of that. But I like the way, you know, you set the table here, foundationally speaking. Yeah, you want to be dating somebody that it believes what you believe.
Yeah.
You know, and we've all heard of the old adage, you know, opposite attracts, the opposites attract each other, but similarities endure. And the similarities are based upon that value system that we get from God and from the scriptures. That's what's really going to endure over the long haul. Because, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned earlier, too, about what some people think about dating. Like some people just say, no, it has no place. I remember reading a short account written by one scholar, and he said, you know, dating is it's kind of a recipe for divorce. In the sense that he said, you know, if all a young person ever does is date one person and then that fails, and then they move on and date another person, and that fails, and that just keeps repeating itself over and over again. Well, what happens is inevitably, if they do get married, things don't go well. They kind of look at the marriage like it was the dating phase of their lives and say, well, it didn't work, so I'm on. I'm moving on. I'm, you know, this is going to collapse. This is over, so I'm going to move on to the next relationship. Very unhealthy.
Yeah, destructive,
so
actually.
It
yeah.
is. It is. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, we're encouraging people to get out there and date as often as you can until you find the right one. I like this principle, Pastor Jason. We can talk about it for a few moments. Because when you're in the dating phase, you're in that search mode, okay? So you're looking for the right one. But how about this thought? Why not focus on being the right one? In other words, that time in a young person's life is the opportunity for them to develop their own character, to develop, you know, godly convictions in their lives so that they can be the right person when God is ready to bring into their lives the right person. What are your thoughts about that?
That's huge. That's huge. I mean, like you said, casual dating is very, it's like an emotional gymnastic. You're just kind of thinking, you know, it's like, again, just trying to pick what I think I need or what I think I want. And after a while, there's an exhaustion. There's rebound relationships. There's all this promiscuity. That's a big one, too. Like the world is promoting that as a form of love. Where it's definitely sex is designed for marriage and it's an expression of love. But it's not the only expression of love. And I think when you're dating and being that right one, you are settling issues in your own heart. Maybe someone is lonely and wants a relationship. Nothing wrong with that. But if I'm lonely before a relationship, I will be lonely in a relationship. If I am hunting for someone to complete me, like the old saying is, that's just, they will fail you. The spouse will fail you. You will be disappointed. So rooting and grounding ourselves in our faith, in our walk with God, is paramount. Now we say this to couples all the time. I mean, you say it all the time to young people. It's like how you relate to God is how you're going to relate to each other. So if your faith is broken, then it's all about take rather than give. It's all about me rather than hey, let's share, have a mission together, like Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and God will add what we're supposed to have. And I want to kind of say that in relationship to what you just said, because when we're seeking God and we're engaged in God's stuff, he takes care of our stuff, and he adds the partner, the kingdom partner, and we're talking male and female here. Let me just make that crystal clear. he adds the right partner for you to do kingdom work, to not only grow personally and individually, but to be a partner in your mission, in your calling. And I remember saying to my wife early on, you know, we met and we're on the mission field together in the Ukraine. And, you know, I just said, hey, honey, I'd love to promise you a white picket fence and a house and blah, blah, blah. But I can't, I don't know if that's really our mission. And she was totally sold out to that. She goes, I don't care about those things, you know. And I remember learning later, she fell in love with my life of faith, and I fell in love with her life of faith because she was occupied as being a lady of faith. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm sure you have a ton of stories. You've been married a lot longer than I have.
How many years?
26 for
26
me.
Years. Wow. This is incredible. I mean,
it is.
Pastor Barry was in here yesterday in 30 years.
Wow.
It's time is moving by us very quickly. Quick reminder to you, friends, you can join us live in the broadcast. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. 800-338-7060 is the phone lines are open. That's the toll-free number in all of North America. And right here in Baltimore, you can join us at 410-483-3700. And, of course, you can weigh in on the chat as well. Here's another thought that crosses my mind when I think about the subject of dating. Again, suggested by something that I read some time ago, that dating creates somewhat of an artificial environment. Hmm. In other words, when two people are dating, they want to put their best foot forward. They want the other person to see the best of who they are. And so they work very hard at creating an artificial environment because, well, they really don't want them, they don't want them to get a glimpse of reality.
Sure.
And so, you know, it has been suggested that, you know, young people dating need a dose of reality, while people who have been married for a long time, they need to learn how to date.
Yes.
They need a break from their reality, so they should be dating, whereas a young person needs to put off that artificial environment that they're going to create and get a real taste of reality. Because otherwise, you start to think that, wow, this person is amazing, and of course I want to marry them. But, you know, you got to look at some other things, like, what are they like around their brothers and sisters and their family?
Yes.
How do they deal with their finances? What are they like under pressure? These questions are so important to be answered, which is why I think we would both agree during the dating process, take your time. Don't be in too much of a hurry.
Yeah, lust is impatient. I think if you're in a relationship where there's pressure physically, or pressure to do things that are against your value system, don't compromise. I think you're very wise in saying that time is valuable because we're on our best behavior, right? We're saying the right things. We're looking the right way. We're just on the phone for all types of hours. Maybe we're spending all types of time together. And then, really dating, I am for dating, not casual dating. I am for it in the sense of a deep friendship that's connected to a mission that has boundaries. I think that's very valuable. Casual dating and just kind of spinning the wheel is, like we've made that clear, is emotionally exhausting and confusing. So I was talking with one family and the father was helping his daughter, you know, just in her dating experience. And he just, you know, he's been there before her and just gave some boundaries that maybe seemed a little old fashioned to the world. And, you know, but they were so helpful to her because it slowed things down. Like Song of Solomon 8 talks about, don't wake up love before it's time. And, again, you know, if there's a physical connection, you know, some people say, should I kiss? Should I hold hands? Should I hug? I mean, you know, 1 Corinthians 7:1 says, the no touch love there, if we could say, is intercourse. It's don't breach or move past boundaries that were only made for marriage, because not only do you join your own soul to that person, but it's very difficult to recover if that relationship doesn't work. That's why God in his wisdom put those things as bonding and committal agents in the marriage to grow you closer. But dating, I mean, does the person have purpose? Does the person have mission? What's their relationship to their pastor? Do they have a church family? These are things that are kind of glazed over. How do they treat their parents? I think that's huge. What if you said no to them when they want to do something? You know, let's say, you know, there was a disagreement. What was the last thing you argued about? Like, how did you handle each other? Was it an outright war? I mean, you just want to, I like what you said, catch them under pressure. And I had one guy say, which is also maybe not the best approach, but he said, I want to test my girlfriend, so I'm not going to speak to her for 3 weeks. And I said, that's ridiculous. I mean, you don't do that. I mean, the Holy Spirit tests your relationship. That's more like provoking her, you know? So I think when we are trying to prove something, it can be a little messy. But if someone is seeking the Lord, I remember when I was dating Leah before I married her, I fasted. I was like, God, I don't know what on earth I'm doing. I think I really like this gal. I think actually I might love her because she was so sold out. And she was also not a yes person. She was very much like her own person. Some people get a little wigged out with the strong-willed women. That's whatever. I liked it because it helped clarify and focus my world. But yeah, I think a dose of reality is super valuable. Like what happens when plans change? Is there grumbling? Is there swearing? Or is there like, you know, blame shifting? Or is there like, and how do they initiate when things fall down, or how do they act when things are on top of the game, right? Yeah, under different scenarios, I think very valuable.
And that's, these are things that we're talking about that can be learned over the course of time.
Sure.
So, you know, make some space for that. Don't be in such a hurry. You know, a lot of young people have said, you know, I don't know how to proceed in this whole process because, you know, God created Adam and then he took a rib from Adam and made Eve. And sometimes we have said to young people, you just wait upon God. God will bring the right person into your life. And they wonder, what does that mean? Mm. You know, are they just going to appear someday? Are they just going to show up? I wish it was as simple as God putting me to sleep, taking out a rib, and I'll wake up and there she will be. No, it's not quite like that. But I like what you said earlier. You know, you just serve God. You find out what your role is in the kingdom of God. And you serve God and you minister and you're running the race at your pace. Mm. And then what God does in his faithfulness is that he brings someone into your life that runs the same race at the same pace. And all of a sudden you're running together, kind of like you and your wife. You just explained that earlier, that you're both on the same mission team in the same mission field, and God kind of brought you together. I'm not saying that that's how it happens in every instance, but you know, God does have a way,
yeah,
if we will trust him completely with every detail of our lives, including who that person is that we're supposed to be with, not only during the dating process, but then as we enter into marriage. He will faithfully be able to do that if we will trust him and,
amen,
develop that walk of faith before him.
Amen. I think you said the magic word, trust. If we trust him, I think outward pressures like, oh, you're this age and you're not married. Like, what's wrong with you? Or you look around your sphere and you look in your church or you look in your work and you're like, there's no eligible bachelors or bachelorettes. And we can kind of enter into our own idea of what we think we should have. And how many stories have we heard of people just settling and getting into a relationship that's a dud? Let's be honest, it's a dud. And now they're committed and they're miserable. I'm not saying we should have, and we say this to the guys a lot, like, I know, and it goes back to your original comment, I know what you want in a woman, but what's the woman going to get? Work on you, go deep with God, you know, and learn how to lead. I think this is one of the tragedies in marriage, and I'm sure we both counsel this a lot, is how to lead a woman. I think a lot of men enter a relationship maybe emotionally starry-eyed, but okay, now how do I lead this woman? I love this woman. How do I lead her? How do I cause her to grow and have her gifts cultivated? You know, how is it that she can, you know, and a big question I ask guys too is like, is she an encourager? Like, can she encourage you? Is she simple? Is she complicated? Well, maybe everyone's complicated, but I mean, is there simple edification in the marriage? Is it something that is drawing you to Christ or away from Christ? Is it something that gives you strength or totally wipes your strength out? You're totally wasted after time with that person. You know, these are signs that, either things need more time or maybe, you know, a break, you know, maybe you just need to step back and kind of reassess. So. Mm-hmm.
today in our culture, it seems like young people are, you know, looking to step into this dating process earlier than ever before in the history of our nation. And we could almost say and share this as a principle that, and we've already established the fact that there's nothing, it's very healthy, it's very normal. God wired us this way, that we would be attracted to the opposite sex. So that's perfectly legitimate. And it's the right thing. But if the right thing is pursued at the wrong time, it may end up being the wrong thing. So timing is everything. And again, if you're so young and you're living in your emotions and you're being guided and directed by your feelings rather than thoughtful consideration and, you know, spirit-led consideration, that can be very dangerous. So you really have to slow things down and say, yeah, I probably need to let God have the opportunity to develop me, to develop my soul, to develop my faith, to make me the person. I remember Richard Wurmbrand was visiting us here in Baltimore in our ministry many, many years ago before he went home to be with the Lord. And somebody asked him a question. One of our teachers in the Greater Grace Christian Academy that were present in the chapel during his discourse asked him, you know, what's your recommendation for young people today? And I think the question was asked like in relationship to dating. And he said, you know what young people should be doing? They should be studying their Bible. Mm. They should be learning another language. They should be investigating what part of the world they want to serve.
Awesome.
I mean, he was making, you know, these are tall orders for young people, especially in our you know, world-driven culture today. But at the same time, they make sense. Mm-hmm. Because the development of your soul is probably the most crucial component to the success of your marriage relationship in the future.
Wow. Amen. That's everything. I mean, how many under-challenged, underdeveloped people, and maybe in one relationship, there's the other person's so much more mature than the other, and they're kind of dragging them along. I mean, that is a recipe for disaster. I love that. The development of your soul, your mission, your calling. You know, we all grew up certain ways. I know the way I grew up, we grew up with a huge missions emphasis. So when I was dating my wife, what brought us together was missions. And looking back at it now, what brings you together keeps you together. So if there's, you know, again, a culture of grace in the relationship, which I think is incredibly important, there's a culture of obviously our faith as the center, but also humor. Can we laugh at each other? And because the world is so sight oriented, and, you know, in the scene of just having the prettiest or the most handsome or successful near you, it somehow it kind of communicates who you are. But when we're solid in our identity as a believer in Christ and know who we are in Christ, then we're able to relate to that person in good times and in crash and burn failure times. And can we pick each other up, and can we speak to each other when there's no emotional response? I mean, I think, I know we're saying a lot of things here. I think a lot of love, unfortunately, and it's not God's love, is based on response. And I think this is where we see the example of Christ. He loved us while we were yet sinners, right? Ephesians chapter 2. And his love was not contingent on my response. And I think in relationships, that is a huge thing. Like we are loved by God. He's the lover of our soul. We are satisfied by God, and we're able to enjoy the person he adds to our life. And we're not under this concept of like, this person's going to be the man of my dreams or the woman of my dreams. Of course, there's the law of attraction's important. Of course, we're not going to be, you know, a stoic here to say that there's certainly attraction's important, but it's the heart. It's the heart. It's the love of God that's rooted and grounded in us in Ephesians 3:17-18 that we share one with another. So dating is, I think, a deep friendship, like go deep and then have it overlap and cultivate your mission, your vision, you know, somebody once asked, you know, should we have another mature couple to maybe walk with us during during your dating relationship. And, you know, Lee and I had that. We had Skip Wood, Skip and Pastor Skip and his wife. They were like our mentoring couple. And I so much appreciated them. You know, they were very practical and very raw. They were able to have us look further down the road. So a mentoring couple is valuable, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. We can talk about that in just a couple of moments. You know, as you were speaking, sometimes the idealism of young people in the dating phase, they think, you know, one partner may say about the other partner, they may both say it, well, that person completes me. I think it's safe to say that no person is intended to complete you. Mm-hmm. Except God himself. The other person that God brings into your life is intended to complement what God has completed. Because if you're looking to be completed, to be fulfilled by another person, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. And this is why we see the divorce rate in our culture and in the world today, like, well, numbers that are just mind-boggling, you know, startling. Don't let that happen. You know, God's got to be the one that completes you, but the other person can complement mm-hmm. what God is completing and can be a blessing. Because you think about it, we mentioned it yesterday on our broadcast about the subject of marriage. Marriage is really a temporal provision, is it not? It's just for this life. It's not necessary, nor is it needed in the next life, in eternity. Jesus said it won't be there.
Wow.
It's incredible. So it's just a temporal provision. It's almost God's way of saying, I'm going to bring another person into your life to bless you, to complement what I'm doing in your life. But if you are not being complete, if you're not Colossians 2:10, complete in Christ, then you're going to start to look to that other person to meet those needs that I have created you with. And I'm the only one that's designed to meet those needs.
I mean, isn't it true that we all come into a relationship with baggage? I mean, we all come with these invisible suitcases and these huge sacks that we don't even realize we have. And then in a relationship, which demands maturity, you can't hide in a relationship, at least a real one, an honest relationship, you can't hide. And questions are asked and things are said and the way we respond, it really reveal our heart. So again, in dating, you know, you are building that foundation not only just for the wedding, but for the marriage.
Like, exactly.
And again, I just think the long look is valuable. I think I just like that person because how I feel around them, or it can be very emotional. It can be a minefield because it's like, you know, we think we need that. That person has that quality, and we start to critique that person. But really, the depth of it is, if that person loves God, they will love you most likely. Let's put it that way. I would say, yes, they'll love you. But the reason why the divorce rate is what it is, and it's tragic, actually, because the foundations are cracked, or they're just not in a unified area. I mean, I used to work on foundations. If you build with concrete and then all of a sudden you halfway through your concrete wall, you put brick there, or you put slab, or you put flagstone. I mean, when there's two different foundations that connect, it's always a breach. It's never 100% sealed. And how many basements have we worked in where that was the number one reason? Because water will erode and find that weak point. So I'd say again, Don't minimize the value of your faith and that person's faith. And let's be honest, Pastor Love, some guys will do this, some gals will do this. Like, they'll say, I'm a Christian just to win the Christian.
Yes.
I mean, I know people that have done the dating scene on the dating apps, and that is what it is. And some have been successful and some haven't. And so I'm not going to say either way. But foundationally, give it time to be tested, because life will test you for sure.
Absolutely. Phone lines are open. You can join us. Are some of you thinking about joining us? some people might say, well, you know, my dating experience, when it was happening was good, and I thought it was going well. But now that I've been married to that person, things have not worked out so well. So I don't have a right to weigh in and share any thoughts. But we're looking for all of you to share your thoughts with us. And if you'd like to impart something, a comment, or ask a question, don't hesitate. 800-338-7060. The local number in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. I know that when I dated my wife, there's no question in my mind that, she was attractive and she was beautiful. And that was a high priority. So that was something. But beyond that, I also realized and recognized I saw mercy in her life. I saw her expressing compassion for others. I saw care. I saw kindness. I saw those values and those traits that were so essential to establishing a relationship over the long haul, a relationship that would endure the test of time. And because beauty can fade, and I'm not suggesting that in her case it has. She's still as beautiful as ever, more beautiful now than even then. But those qualities, the mercy, the compassion, the kindness, the care, those are still present. And that's what allows us to endure in our relationships with one another. When you have these kinds of values, they're essential. And I think that when young people are dating or considering the possibility of finding that person that they're going to spend the rest of their life with, those are the kind of things that they've got to be focused on. They've got to be looking for those things.
Yeah, and it's maybe not the first thought, because we're always like visually and sight oriented. I mean, I think you hit on it: kindness, gentleness, mercy, grace. Can this person initiate to someone in failure rather than being self-righteous? Is that person controlling? I mean, I think that's a big one. Are they narcissistic? I mean, that's a big word. I think our relationships need to be analyzed carefully. And that's why an inclusive, not an exclusive relationship is very important. Like, can I be with this person in the body of Christ? Are they constantly wanting to be alone with me? Are they engaged in a ministry? Are they active in their purpose? I mean, these are huge things, because beauty does fade, and they say beauty is skin deep, but 1 Peter 3:3-5, it's the hidden man of the heart. And this is what, again, the longevity of a relationship. And we've been together 26 years, and I can honestly say that our love has gotten deeper. It's not the same love as it was when you're at the altar, because when marriage counselor says you marry seven different women in your relationship, and what he means by that, I want to quickly clarify what I mean by that. It's the same person, just seven different stages, and these stages, your love goes deeper and your love changes, but it goes, there's more quality to it. And because of the hidden man of the heart. So again, it's like slowing it down, right, Pastor Love? It's like, I need a woman, or I need a guy, or I'm lonely, or why all my friends are getting married and I got to get a guy or I got to get a woman. And by the way, it's like where you find your spouse too. Like if you're in the bar room, you're going to get what you get there. But if you find, and I'm not saying you're going to find a perfect person in the church either, but again, if you're seeking the Lord and you're being cultivated as an individual and you're calling, then God knows what you need. And I certainly want to have what God wants for me and not something I manipulate into my life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The subject, you touched upon it earlier, of counseling. Sometimes to have that older couple in your life that are mentoring you, especially during the dating process. But what about counseling? I mean, how is it wise for young people that are dating to seek out counseling? I think in some instances, the answer is obviously yes. because they have not been down this road before. They don't know how to navigate their lives at this particular time. So to seek out counseling is vital, not just for those that are contemplating marriage, but just for those that are in the dating process. It's all right for a young couple that say, look, we don't know what we're doing, you know,
sure. And
need some guidance, need some direction, need some wisdom. And the best place to look for that is from someone that, you know, can provide those things.
Yeah, I think there's a stigma, wouldn't you say, about counseling? Something's wrong with me. Well, the answer is, yeah, we're all broken. So that is what it is. But counseling is that guide that helps navigate and to really find God's mind, God's heart when we can't find it ourselves. I think in many circumstances, we have a beautiful pre-engagement questionnaire that Pastor Hadley and I and other pastors work through couples that are serious. And they're questions that probe and provoke conversation. I mean, we find that in people's history, there's been abuse, sexual abuse, and that the numbers there are higher than most think they are. And that's an issue. Addiction, like there's pornography or some sort of gambling, or there's some sort of attachment to something that will definitely be taken into a commitment like marriage and be like a wrecking ball if not addressed. So, I mean, counseling is valuable because in honesty, transparency, and then the big word vulnerability, honest, I'm able to, we certainly share. Transparency is I have nothing to hide, right? Vulnerability is I'm an open book and you can address whatever you need to address in the capacity of the Lord. These are huge things. I call them non-negotiables going into a relationship. Like, of course, I'm not going to tell everybody my sins right from the past. But again, if it's something that is habitually a problem presently, then it's wise to have someone that is not perfect, but maybe more mature and able to give you tools to respond and to work through these things. Because everything, how we relate to God is how we're going to relate to each other. Everything that we're secretly struggling with will one day come to light and be very damaging, right? So you know how it is. You're kind of thinking, I'm unprepared maybe for this relationship. But if your heart is prepared before God, if you're connected, accountable, you have a mentor in your life. I tell men all the time, you got to have a mentor in your life. You got to have someone speaking into your life, because we have blind spots and we're not as great as we think we are. Sorry to blow that up there, but we need someone to say, hey, listen, I love you. Have you considered this and that and create that dialogue? It's very healthy.
Yeah. And of course,
I don't know if I answered your question.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. To go along with that, the only way that you're going to discover or find out some of these issues that might be present in one or the other person's life is through time, which is why we go back to the principle that we've touched upon repeatedly in our broadcast today, which is slow down. There is no hurry because you want to thoroughly understand and know the person that you're dating and perhaps even contemplating marriage with. It's not as though that when you discover some of those things, maybe there has been abuse in the past, maybe there has been some addiction issues. It's not as though, you know, that's the reason why you want to cancel the relationship and say goodbye. That's not it.
Right.
It's just that you want to be able to know, you want to be able to bring those things, in some instances, drag those things into the light, and they can be dealt with. But you don't want to be surprised to discover that after the fact, which is why the process of dating is a good process, because that's when you get to really know the person. And hopefully the dating process is creating that environment of reality rather than fantasy or superficiality.
Yeah, I'm not encouraging, a guy to tell his girlfriend all his past relationships. I don't know if that's a healthy thing to do. But, you know, if there's like objective questions, there shouldn't be any type of like hiding, right? Because a woman has that sixth sense. She can certainly identify when she's being lied to. So again, I think inclusive in the body, in a mission, you know, what's my pastor? Does he have a thought about my relationship? Like, are we drawing near? Is it a distraction? I mean, these are like things that we kind of say, and they're not such a big deal, but But these habits really build a deep foundation for a satisfying relationship, right? A relationship that that is not absent of trouble, but you have a spiritual community around you to support, to pray, to strengthen you, to encourage you. I think as men, we have trouble asking for help. I think, you know, again, it's so valuable to have go-to men in your life that can give you objective, sound counsel. And so that we avoid these pitfalls as much as possible, because marriage is work. I mean, I remember Pastor Stephen saying this, marriage is a personal investment, right? It's a personal investment. You get what you put in it. And if you put in bad, you get bad, right? Because the woman is a responder and she will respond to the good, the bad, and the ugly. So,
so true.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, we touched upon the whole principle of, well, no touch love. And I mean, and this is, you know, this is one of those dangers that comes along during the dating process. You know, you just have to really guard your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, ideally, it would be wonderful if every couple went to the altar and they had not engaged themselves physically, no intimacy prior to marriage, because that's, God has ordained it for marriage. Mm. So you just have to guard your hearts, because if you're not careful, we could say, well, you can just hold hands or you can just kiss a little bit. Well, Pastor Stevens used to teach all the time that the kiss is the equivalent of surrender.
Yes.
And that's dangerous. You know, you say, well, we're just kissing. Well, that it's kind of like saying, you know, I'm only going to have one drink. It inevitably leads to another one for some people. So you really have to guard your heart. Ideally, yes, it's not wise. And this goes back to being spirit led and spirit controlled. When you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, there is temperance, there is self-control. Without being filled with the Holy Spirit, you might not possess that self-control. Things might get out of control. Things might get very, very complicated. So you really have to guard your heart there. I don't think it's our place to say, you know, this is the place, this is the limit, this is sure. how much you do. We just can't go there.
Yeah. I mean, Song of Solomon is a great book to just enjoy. I mean, it's a picture of Christ and his church. It's a picture of a loving relationship as well. Boundaries are so valuable. When you wake up love, it's like a steam train. You cannot stop it, actually. So I always encourage guys, when you're alone with a woman for a long period of time, then it's like you're thinking things and maybe you're tempted, or you want to just kind of avoid as much as possible these areas where you're maybe weakened or maybe in a place of temptation. And so you mentioned no touch love. I think, again, like someone might say, oh, that's not a real relationship, you know, if I don't touch, hug, kiss, and all these things. And it's like, why not? Like, you're falling in love with a person's heart. Certainly affection is so valuable. It's affirming the relationship. Someone might say, oh, the woman doesn't know that I love her unless I do this, this, and this. But it's like, again, expectation and all these ideas that sex has to be part of the dating relationship. It's very destructive. I mean, we see that premarital sex leads to dysfunctional sex in a marriage.
Yeah.
Not always, but most likely it can happen that way. So again, preserving yourself as a virgin is looked at as kind of a scoffing kind of thing today. But what an amazing gift to give your spouse. You've saved yourself for them, and God honors that because the marriage bed is undefiled. But the world has cheapened it, has cheapened love, has cheapened it. And you scratch my back, I scratch yours. If you love me, you do this. It's all this manipulative. But actually, God's love is simple. It's like, I died for you because I'm committed to you, because I love you. Even if you don't respond to me, I have cared for everything so that you could come to me. And in a relationship, it's the same way. Let's fall in love with their life. Let's fall in love with their heart. Let's fall in love with their mission. Let's fall in love with their leadership abilities. Let's fall in love with the way they love other people. And, you know, and set the boundaries. Again, this is like, you know, it's like fire. You touch it, there is an impact. plain and simple.
You could get burned.
Yeah. Fire is wonderful in the right place, right?
Of course, exactly.
But in the wrong place, it burns the house down.
Absolutely. Yep, I think in the kingdom of God, there has to be first a spirit connection, which leads to a soul connection, which inevitably could result in a physical connection. The world's got it backwards.
Yes.
They start out with a physical connection. They're not even interested in the connection of the soul or the spirit, but those two are most important. So the world's got it backwards, which is why I think we see so much heartache in relationships in our culture today, because even Christian young people, they're taking their cues from the world.
Yes.
They're taking their cues from Hollywood. They're taking their cues on what they see and hear and watch on social media, and that's just too dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're out of time, Pastor Jason, but this is
such
a...
Wow, that went fast.
Yeah,
of course it would,
because
so good,
this
Pastor.
Is such a vital theme and subject matter, especially for young people, but really even for older people that are in the process or considering this dating business. It's for everybody. So
yes,
great thoughts shared. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, sir.
And appreciate your insight into this theme and subject. And thank you, friends, for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And we'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope that you'll tune in then. So until then, may God bless you.